So Exodus 19:6 says, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." So that's the verse that it's kind of referencing there to kind of bring it into the church to help us to understand. Now, I do want you to know that the church is not, doesn't have the promises that Israel had. It's not all the same thing. I'm just trying to tell you there's some similarities here. And so the promises to Israel are promises to Israel. They're not necessarily promises of the church. We're not spiritual Israel. But at the same time, again, there are some things that we are to be like just in the same way that they were commanded under a different covenant. That might be kind of confusing, but the church is now God's chosen assembly. That's why we're supposed to be faithful to church. That's supposed to be why we're a member of the church. And Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is." And it says, "But so much the more as the..." Let's just turn there. Hebrews 10:25. I'm sorry. "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is," here it is, "but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, I look over out at the audience this morning, and I don't know, we're probably 90% full, I would say. I was here Wednesday night, too, and it was about 30% maybe. Now, just to be fair, there were people on vacation and things and out of town. Okay, that's fine. But most Baptist churches I've been in, it's about like that. It's maybe 40-50% on average on Wednesday night to come on Sunday. If that. Now, I would say that would be a good thriving church. But the Bible commands us that we're supposed to be faithful, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And it says, "And so much the more as we see the day approaching." What is it talking about? The coming of Christ. That's right. There's going to be an end. So as time goes by, we're supposed to be more faithful and more faithful and more faithful. But I see less and less and less in the churches I'm in. And you know, I'm not quite understanding. If we're supposed to be a peculiar people, you know, there's most religions teach works for salvation, and yet they only go to church on Sunday morning. You think you're going to affect your neighbors if you're going to go to church three times a week instead of once? I think so. When they notice that you're on fire for God and that church is important to you, if you invite them, but they don't see you're coming faithfully, why would they go? But the main reason is that it's a command right here. We're in disobedience. Okay, so if you're on vacation, I understand that. If you're sick or laid up, I can understand that too. I wouldn't say that's forsaking. If you just don't come, that's forsaking. I've got better things to do. I'm tired, whatever it might be. Now, job. Now, if you're obligated to work on Wednesday night, you're in an agreement with your employer that you have to be there, you need to be there. But I would challenge you. I can say this personally in my own life. There was a time when I began to wonder, what am I going to do? I'm supposed to be in God's house, but I'm working today, and I have to work today. So I began to pray that God would give me a job that would enable me to be in church whenever church was going on. If there's a revival here, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you ought to be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, so much the more, like it says, a missions conference, whatever it might be. But when I began to pray that and began to search for something that would fill that, a full-time job, God did that for me. And not only that, but he also blessed my life. Wages went up. My money went further. You know, God will bless if you're faithful to him. And listen, this is a war. If half the soldiers stay home, it's going to be a lot harder on everyone else. There's prayer before service on Sunday morning at 9:10. There was let's see, what, 5-6 men this morning, and I see a lot more than 5 or 6 men out here today. Now, again, if there's sickness or something, I can understand that. Wednesday night was we had prayer at 6:15 and the preaching at 7. There was 4 people here, including the pastor. And so how important is it to you? I believe in the power of prayer. Everybody ought to be here for prayer. We get together and pray. How important is it to you? Do you want to win this war? We need to live our lives like we're soldiers. Okay, the next thing. We are a peculiar people because we've been redeemed, is what I did want to mention to you. But we're bought back, we belong to him, so we ought to follow his commandments. How much do you love the Lord? John 14:15, I mentioned on Wednesday, says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love the Lord, you're going to keep his commandments. If you're keeping his commandments, you're going to be here and you're going to be faithful. Amen? Amen? It's really the truth. And so I know I'm a little hard on you today, but I don't think you're a bad church. Don't get me wrong. I'm just challenging you from God's word here. And then eternal security, that was mentioned in Sunday school too, so I won't labor long here. But what I want you to think about is when one of God's peculiar people backslides into the world and begins to stray from the Lord, they are still his peculiar people, but they don't look as peculiar anymore. Now think about your testimony for a minute. And, you know, their sins and addictions, Christians struggle with those too. You can be free though, the Bible says. But there's other sins too. There's other sins we can slide into. We may not consider them wicked, dirty, evil sins, but bad attitude. Bad attitude, unthankfulness as a Christian. You know, you're complaining all the time. And I really had to examine myself a few years ago because, you know, I was faithful to church, but I got a bad attitude sometimes. And a bad attitude, it's a sin. And I'm not talking about being angry at sin. I'm talking about this. It's my way, and I can't have my way, so I've got a bad attitude about it, you know. And you may have eternal security, and you can't lose your salvation. But because you're eternally secure, you've been bought with a price, and you belong to him, and you ought to serve him, and you ought to be faithful to him, and you shouldn't be getting yourself involved in sin. There's a lot of things that cause people to slide away from God. I can tell you, faithful church attendance, Bible reading, and prayer, we sing these songs for our kids because we want them to understand how important the Bible is in prayer, and even church attendance, although that's not in the song, because we want our children to learn it when they're little kids. So it gets ingrained in their hearts. And that's a very basic thing, but we ought to know the Bible. But if we're not a peculiar people, if we don't look peculiar, if we're just kind of blending in for the world, we're not affecting the world. If we're out of God's will, yes, we might be saved, but you're not going to keep continuing down that path. Brother Josh preached about chastisement. God is going to chastise you if you're not in his will, if you're not doing what he tells you to do. And the chastisement, just like when I was a kid, the chastisement, the punishment gets worse and worse until you straighten your act out. And God is going to do the same thing. And I've seen people where they've got so far from God that God takes their life. And he'll do that to you too. If he can't straighten you out, he's not going to leave you here as a bad testimony for him. And so, chastisement. But then we come to realize then that there's not chastisement. And Brother Josh mentioned that this morning too. I think he preached my message this morning. But I think you realize that there's no chastisement. If you're living in sin and you've got sin in your life and it doesn't bother you at all, I mean, I don't know. You know if you're saved or not, but there will be chastisement there. God will make you miserable. And If you're saved and out of the will of God and you're hanging around the wrong people and you're a bad testimony and you're not doing what's right, you are going to be miserable. You can never be happy in that. And you're not going to fit in with the world either, because they know you're a Christian even if you're not really living it. You know, you had one time took a stand and said, I'm a saved person. I've given myself to Christ, and now you're living in sin. That old crowd you used to hang around, you're not going to fit in with them anymore. They know you go to church. They at least went to church. They know you serve the Lord. They know that you had religion, so to speak. And so you're going to lose your testimony, but you're not going to fit in. So you're not going to fit in God's will because you're under chastisement, but you're not going to fit into the world. You're just in a mess when you're that way. And that can be prevented. You know, the Bible says that the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, if you're not backslidden today, I just want you to think about, in the Hope class was on maintaining freedom. Think about how you can protect yourself. If you're not aware and you're not alert and you're letting things in your life, the wrong influence into your life, then you're going to end up sliding out of God's will. Who you run with writes your pedigree. And so we need to stay faithful. We need to act like a soldier. We need to be aggressive against Satan, not just defensive, but on the offense. And I think that's kind of where I see the church failing, at least in the United States, from what I've seen, is that we're on the defensive, but we're not on the offensive. And that's why we're losing the battle. The light isn't going out. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 23 says, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. That was one thing Israel had to do. They had to separate themselves from the profane and from the unclean, and they had to make themselves holy. Holy is a trait that only God has. I would say godly is a double first cousin. And so you just think about how far God stays away from sin. How far are we away from sin in our lives? Hopefully you're thinking about that. And so although this was talking to the nation of Israel, we had the same mandate. We had to be holy, to separate ourselves from the clean and the unclean. Not with what we eat, like they did in the Old Testament, but with who we are. We're to be a living sacrifice. We're going to be godly. We're going to be Christ-like. Christ was a sacrifice. We're a living sacrifice. That means things have to change in our life. That means our life is different. We give up things that the world does because they're unclean. And things that can be perceived as unclean are unclean too. And so your testimony is really important. And so I'd just like to close with sharing with you. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. This, what I preach today, primarily applies to someone who's saved. And what do I mean by saved? You had a car accident and it was really bad and you were alive when you came out. No, that's saved, but that's not the saved I'm talking about. A few years ago, I was in a car accident. My car was totaled, and I had two broken ribs. And if I showed you the pictures of the car, you'd be surprised anybody came out of it alive. And I was saved in that sense. I'm still here. God has something for me to do. But I'm talking about being saved from sin, a difference. Now, I've already shared, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, I don't know if y'all have been to the Grand Canyon, but trying to depend upon your works to go to heaven is like trying to jump across the Grand Canyon. I can try a little harder. I can be an athlete. I can get further than anyone else has, but I'm going to fall into that canyon if I do it. So the Bible says that there is no good people in ourselves. We don't merit heaven. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The penalty of sin is death. We're going to die here, and the Bible talks in Revelations a second death, which is in the lake of fire. And so the wages of sin is death, Because of our sin, we do not deserve God's heaven. We deserve a devil's hell. Now think of this as a warning. I'm not trying to be crude here. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Christ loved us. God loved us. He came in human flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. He suffered the worst possible death ever as a perfect man to pay for our sins. No one else could do that but God himself. Only God is perfect because he sets the standards of being perfect. But he lived a perfect life, then he sacrificed himself for us. Now that's pretty great love. It talks in that same verse about how if you're a good man, some may even dare to die. You know, there's what we call good people. We might sacrifice for them, but the Bible says when we were enemies, Christ died for us. And so Romans 10:9 says, so God's given us this gift of salvation. He's died on the cross to pay for our sins so that we don't have to pay for them in hell for eternity. It's been asked many times, why does God, if God is so loving, why does he send people to hell? He didn't. He loved us so much, he died himself for our sins. And he's given us a choice. You can follow me or not. He doesn't spiritually rape us and make us one of his children. He doesn't kidnap us. He gives us that choice ourselves. We have to make that choice. And so it's a gift given to us. We can receive his gift of salvation, or we can say, I don't want it. And I've seen both. And if you don't want it, the alternative is eternity in hell. Now, why am I telling this? I don't want anyone to go to hell. The Bible says that I'm a watchman. I'm to give people warning who are on the wrong path. I don't want people to go to hell. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that because I want you to know there's an alternative in Jesus Christ. And it says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then in Romans 10:13 it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what it comes down to is you have to realize you're a sinner and have a sorriness for your sins. An attitude of sorriness for your sins. Then you have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again, he was God, he had power over the grave. And then the third thing is you have to receive his gift, which is simply asking him to save you. Lord, I want that gift. Will you come into my heart and save me? And so if you're not saved today, you need to be saved. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. We don't have a guarantee, just like me. 2018, New Year's Eve, we are on our way home from church. We hit a patch of ice and snow. I lost control of our car. We crossed lanes, and immediately my wife's door was struck and she died. Now, she was saved. She had Christ in her heart. She's in heaven today. She's not suffering. Now, that was really hard for me, but 39 years old. Now, I'm happily married again now, by the way. And Esther and Erica were very good friends. But I want to tell you, I have a peace of knowing where she is. She's in heaven today. But 39 years old, we plan to spend the rest of our lives together. She had an appointment. We all have, the Bible says we're appointed. It's appointed under man once to die, and after this the judgment. You have an appointment with death someday. Are you ready for that appointment? Have you received Christ as your Savior? And so, if you haven't, you need to ask the Lord to save you today. You need to accept his gift of salvation. And as Christians, we need to be ever aware of those around us. This is our job. This is our most important job, is winning people to Christ. And if we don't do that, we're really missing the mark. Maybe you have excuses. Maybe, I'm kind of shy. I don't talk very much. You can give somebody a gospel tract. You know, I'm that way too. I'm a little backwards, but you can give somebody a gospel tract. You can do something with the gospel. Maybe you're a little more outgoing. Maybe you can pull somebody aside. You can take them through scriptures. A lot of people in a hurry. I know that's kind of hard sometimes. But maybe you're a little bit more bold. But whoever you are, if you're saved, you have this mandate to be a peculiar people. And that means you're going to have to tell people something they may not be so ready to hear right away. But God will convict in their hearts and they can be saved. So you have to do something. And so my challenge to you, if you're not saved, you need to accept Christ today. If you are saved, are you a peculiar people? Are you a peculiar people? I think you can tell. If you're a peculiar person, people around you that aren't saved treat you like you're peculiar. And people know who you are. I was known as Jesus John at Papa John's when I worked there. We had three Johns, and they had to determine who was going to be who. And I found out I got the nickname Jesus John. Now, the manager said that's not meant to be derogatory. I think it was, but I don't really care. I'm glad I'm known as Jesus John. I'm glad to know that when they look at me, they see Jesus in me. And so what about you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, that we can be here, Lord, and worship you, Lord. And I just thank you for this church, Lord, that is being a light for you, Lord. And Lord, I've preached what you wanted me to preach this morning. I pray that it'll touch hearts, Lord. Help me, even myself, to do more for you, Lord. I think we can all do more for you. We can be more peculiar for you if we'll surrender ourselves to you. Help us with that now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.